Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashta Prayeshwa Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna to everyone. Good morning to everyone on the call. This morning's text, we're continuing the discussion between Jatbhat and Maharaj Rahugan. Canto 5, which is entitled The Creative Impetus. Chapter 10, the discussion between Jatbharat and Maharaj Rahugan. Text 14. Okay. Sri Suka Uvacha Etavad Anubhata Paribhasaya Prati Dira Munivara Upashama Shila Uparat Anatmya Nimita Upabu Jena Kamarabdham Vyapanayan Rajayanam Apitatubaha. Word for word translation. Sri Suka Uvacha, Sukadev Goswami continued to speak. Etavat, so much. Anuva paribhasaya. Paribhasaya. Okay. By explanatory repetition of words spoken previously by the king. Pratyudirya. Giving replies one after another. Munivara. Great sage Jatbharat. Upashama Shila. Who was calm and peaceful in character. Uparata, ceased. Anatmya, things not related to the soul. Nimita, whose cause? Ignorance for identification with things not related to the soul. Upabhogena, by accepting the consequences of his karma. Karma arabdham, the resultant action now attained. Vyapanayan, finishing. Rajayanam, the palanquin of the king. Api, again. Tata, as before. Uvaha, continued to carry. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when King Rahugan chastised the exalted devotee Jatbharat with harsh words, that peaceful, saintly person tolerated all and replied properly. Nescience is due to the bodily conception, and Jatbharat was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. An exalted devotee of the Lord never thinks that he is a paramahamsa or a liberated person. He always remains a humble servant of the Lord. In all reverse conditions, he agrees to suffer the results of his past life. He never accuses the Lord of putting him into a distressed condition. These are the signs of an exalted devotee. Tate nukampam shishamik shamanaha. When suffering reversed conditions, the devotee always considers that the reverse conditions are the Lord's concessions. He is never angry with his master. He is always satisfied with the position his master offers. In any case, he continues to perform his duty in devotional service. Such a person is guaranteed promotion back home, back to Godhead. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8, Tatenu kampam shishamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam vigvag babubir vidadan namaste deveta yu mukti padesa dayabhak. Translation is, my dear Lord, one who constantly waits for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and who goes on suffering the reaction of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Om Agina Timiranyasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Avadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpat Rubescha Kripa Sindhubya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Satarine Excuse me. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gura Trishe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhyadi Vyacha Vishnandaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Ras Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text 14. The translation by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when King Raghugan chastised the exalted devotee Jatparat with harsh words, that peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. Nescience is due to the bodily conception, and Jatparat was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. Hare Krishna. So, glory to Srila Prabhupada. So, this text is a continuation of what was unfolding in Maharaj Bharat's last life. He came first as the son of Maharaj Rishabhadev, who himself was an incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was the first of 100 sons. Maharaj Rishabhadev was kind enough to advise all of them just before he left the kingdom to them. especially to Bharat Maharaj. He said he, Bharat Maharaj, the first son, should rule the kingdom and the others, the 99, should help, the 99 brothers should help him. They were all very exalted, especially 9 of them who took Brahmachari life and then Sannyas life, and they never, these are the Navayugendras. They went around the material world preaching everywhere the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Maharaj Bharat, as many of you know, if not all of us, left the kingdom at that time. Maharaj Bharat ruled for a while and then left the kingdom to also devote his life fully, brahminical life, as a devotee. No more administration or Kshatriya life. He also left, just like his father did. But because due to his kindness, he saved a small deer, a newborn deer, literally, from drowning, and took care of him. Unfortunately, he took care of him at the expense of his devotional service in the woods. So he died having deer in his mind, and he took a deer body, and Krishna basically had this wonderful devotee of his, in a sense, get reminded of what he had done wrong. You know, so in the deer's body, he still had the boon of being able to remember his past life. Animals don't remember past lives, needless to say. So, he died fairly quickly, though, in the deer body, and he took birth again, this time as a human. And it's maybe something to say about in discussion later on, animals coming to human bodies. This was obviously a quick mercy, or show of mercy by the Lord, to have him come again into human body that quickly from an animal body. That's another point for discussion. Anyway, so now he was Jat Bharat. He had realized what he had done wrong in his previous life. And so he was determined now to be a devotee incognito so that nobody will bother him. And so he lived a life like a madman, but he was definitely an exalted devotee. And so when some of the servants of King Rahugan, who was being carried in a palanquin, traveling in a palanquin, was the servants saw Jat Bharat, and they needed help with the palanquin. They got him. Jat Bharat did not complain. But as he was carrying, Hare Krishna, as he was carrying the palanquin, helping the other guys to carry the king, he wasn't going to cause problems to anyone on the path in the woods. But he saw some ants crossing, so he stopped for them to cross. And of course, the others were still moving the palanquin, so that caused the palanquin to jolt and tilt. And Maharaj Rahugan was sitting on the palanquin, so he got uncomfortable and inquired, since he was a king too. And he said to him, those men said to him that, well, this new person that we got to help is the one that caused this problem. And so Maharaj Rahugan chastised Jat Bharat. But Jat Bharat, as he says here in this text, he tolerated that chastisement. And when the time came, he replied properly to the king. In fact, the king got to know that he was a very advanced, high-level devotee by the way Jat Bharat responded. Because all of the insults that the king, the Rahugan, heaped on Jat Bharat, Jat Bharat already knew that the king was looking at him in a false conception, that he was his body. Because all the things that he chastised Jat Bharat was pertained to Jat Bharat's body. The soul cannot be touched like that. The soul is Satchitananda. In bliss, Ananda. So, it says here, Sukadev Goswami is telling Maharaj Pariksit that out of Jat Bharat's natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that when he carried the palanquin, then, you know, his karmic reaction, his things that he had done in the past, which were not good, would be destroyed. So thinking like that, he just kept carrying the palanquin. So he looked at the palanquin situation that he'd been called to do as reaction to his past karma. So Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport that an exalted devotee never thinks he is a very high level devotee. Even though he is exalted, sometimes exalted devotees are directed from the spiritual world, or sometimes they're conditioned souls who have lived the spiritual life so well that now they are 100% purified, just like someone who came from the spiritual world directly, like Srila Prabhupada, Nitya Siddha. So they are here, and they are all considered pure. When you get to 100% purity, you are pure, period. So, whether you came from above, down, as an avatar, or sort, I mean, the Lord's Shaktivesh avatars and so on, they come. But they are already, you know, 100% pure. Or, sometimes, just following the words of Guru and Sadhu and taking the Shastra to heart, a person can also be purified. Srila Prabhupada was asked, how long does it take for a person to become pure? He said, in a moment. One can become pure in a moment. Well, what does that mean? We all know, I especially know myself, how much anattas are there that we have to work on. Then how is a person becoming pure in a moment then? Srila Prabhupada is certainly not wrong. We know that he's the one that teaches us. Well, our soul is in our heart. So if our intentions are to be fully Krishna conscious and fully dedicated to Krishna, from our heart we are already 100% pure. It's just a question of how we react and how we do our lives. That's the problem. The Maya that's not gone yet. That's the problem. But when the heart accepts wholeheartedly, or the mind and the soul accepts wholeheartedly, the body accepts wholeheartedly, the intelligence accepts wholeheartedly, that Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am His eternal servant of a servant of a servant, and I accept that role wholeheartedly, then the mind has been purified. But the activities is another story. And the senses, you know, they've been rascals, been doing all kinds of negative things against Krishna consciousness for years. Never mind years, lifetimes. And now we are in the right position. But how to act so that it's consistent with what we're thinking? That we want to be good devotees and good servants, pure servants even. That's what takes time. But that decision that I'm all for Krishna, that can happen in a second, just as quickly as the mind thinks. So that point is what Srila Prabhupada made. So, anyway, an exalted devotee never thinks he's a paramhamsa or a liberated person. That's humility. Srila Prabhupada says he remained a humble, here we go, humble servant of the Lord. In all reverse conditions, he agrees to suffer the results of his past life. So reverse here, and I remember Giriraj Swami also preached not long ago on Zoom, this COVID-19 situation. So he was on Zoom preaching to us fortunate people at that time. His own disciples, a lot of them were on, and also he was preaching at for the Harrisburg devotees. So we were also on at that time. He preached this one, and he defined, as I remember, the reverse conditions that, you know, when we've done something wrong and we're suffering the result, a little reaction that Krishna gives us. It is little. If we think we're suffering a lot, then we did a whole lot of things that were pretty bad earlier. That's how the Buddha is supposed to think. So never take it, you know, that we all thought that way. Never take it anything against Krishna. Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I put all my life out for you. I get up early. I go to bed and thinking of you, reading about you, reading about things that Sadhu has preached and Guru has preached. And now I'm going through all this suffering. Why? Well, we are actually protected by Krishna fully. That sometimes, you see the Prabhupada was saying, you know, sometimes we may have done some things earlier that were not the best of things for devotee life. And so Jatpayat is thinking the same way. He's saying, well, he has done something. Actually, we all know that he became a deer body because he stopped devotional service and kept caring for a deer. So that was obviously wrong. That part, and that's why it's brought in here in Srimad Bhagavatam to help us or to warn us that association with devotees is important. Sadhu Sangha, so how does it connect to this? Well, Maharaj Bhad was in the woods by himself. The deer was with him. He was caring for the deer. The deer had lost his parent, his mother. It was a male deer. Lost his mother. And so he needed help. Jatpayat being as kind as he was, at that time, Bharat Maharaj being as kind as he was, helped him. But you don't do things at the expense of your devotional service. So see, he still remembers he did that though, as Bharat Maharaj. So he's thinking, well, Krishna is slapping me on the wrist for doing that thing about, you know, caring for the deer and not doing a devotional service. So when this whole thing about carrying the palanquin came, it's a difficult thing to do, but he's looking at it as, well, I'm suffering the results of my past life, so I'm just going to tolerate it and keep going. And that's how a devotee is supposed to think when distress comes into our lives. And that's the point Srila Prabhupada is making. Tatendu kampam shisamik shamana. Srila Prabhupada says, when suffering reverse conditions, that is the reaction to what we've done, and that's what Srila Prabhupada is calling reverse conditions. The devotee always considers that the reverse conditions are the Lord's concessions. In other words, we're being slapped on the wrist. We're not being, you know, really hit hard at all. So in that way, he's not angry with his master, the Supreme Lord or the spiritual master. He's always satisfied with the position his master offers. In any case, he continues to perform his duty in devotional service. And when that person is acting like that, then he's guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. And that's why in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8, says this. Tate nukampam shushamik shamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam evag vapubir vadadan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadhayabhak. My dear Lord, one who constantly waits for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Now, so, wonderful translation here added to the situation with Jatpayat. So Jatpayat is looking at his condition of carrying a heavy palanquin with the Lord, Maharaja Hukan's weight on it too, carrying along with other people, other men carrying it. This was part of the suffering of his past misdeeds. Actually, he had been put in the deer's body to suffer the results of his past misdeeds because he stopped caring for the deer. He stopped caring for his devotional service at the expense of this caring for deer. He cared for the deer at the expense of his devotional service. So, here he is. Srila Prabhupada says, another point that connects to this. Many of us know that, if we didn't know better, we know now because of COVID-19, how troublesome this earth can be, life on this earth can be. So in that respect, Srila Prabhupada says, in the middle of a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 21, he says, Srila Prabhupada says, unless one is disgusted with the so-called enjoyment, so-called enjoyment of this material world, he cannot aspire for liberation. Unless one is disgusted with the, what people call enjoyment in this material world, he cannot aspire for liberation. Then he repeats the point again. Liberation is for one who is disgusted with material enjoyment. So material enjoyment is just to satisfy our senses, but it keeps us trapped here in the material world. Our home, needless to say, is the spiritual world. And we are in a much, much, much better position here. Very, very fortunate position to go back. So many things, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, has been done now, has been put in place to make sure that if we just take to it and stick to it, we're going home. So many things have been done. So Srila Prabhupada is literally the founder and charger of ISKCON, but also literally saving the world by just going by, if we go by his program. So all of our spiritual masters, they know that. They themselves are servants, disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They offer obeisance to Srila Prabhupada. And so Srila Prabhupada empowers them, and Krishna empowers them, the parampara empowers them, to be able to guide us wonderfully. And so sometimes disciples are very excited about their spiritual master. Well, that's understandable. But understand, though, that the spiritual master himself is a disciple. Of his divine grace, Ashi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So she would never, and excuse me to use a heavy word, we should never be crazy enough to think that our gurus are bigger than Srila Prabhupada. How can a servant be bigger than the master? Do you think a servant would ever think that way? Servant thinks that was a crazy servant. So our gurus are servants to Srila Prabhupada. They're disciples to Srila Prabhupada. So there's an analogy, and it might shock some of you, but I've heard it in Morning Walk. Yeah, let me talk about the analogy first to Srila Prabhupada gave, but then we'll put the analogy here. By Krishna's mercy, if I would be allowed to, by the parampara. So the analogy was in the morning walk. Some disciples, and obviously they were new disciples of Srila Prabhupada, young at that time, got into a mild debate with Srila Prabhupada, but they wanted answers, actually. They weren't really debating. But the way they were putting it, since Srila Prabhupada makes a statement, they make another statement. She makes a statement in response, they make another statement. So it's almost like a debate back and forth with the spiritual master in a morning walk now. And they were talking about meat eating. Some people eat meat. The students, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are telling, but these different religions, they even approve of it. Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be unto him, he says that you can eat meat. He's going back and forth with Srila Prabhupada, and he answered every one of them. So Srila Prabhupada says, you don't kill animals. He says, Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. In the Bible, it says, thou shalt not kill. This is the Ten Commandments of Moses. Thou shalt not kill. He didn't say that thou shalt not kill and put some things in there. Well, human beings, you don't kill. Animals, you can kill. No, thou shalt not kill is thou shalt not kill, period. So he's saying that to defeat what they were thinking. But they said, well, Islam is saying that. We didn't say Christianity. Islam is saying that. So then Baba went back and forth and said, all right, so you think that killing a, just like Christians are thinking, killing a human being, that's wrong, but killing animals is okay? No. Then he's saying, so if you think that killing animals is okay, the animals have souls. Humans have souls. So if you kill an animal, then why don't you kill your brother? The Buddhists didn't know how to answer that. The use of Prabhupada's expertise, he kept repeating, went around and repeated again and repeated. Why don't you kill your brother then if you're going to kill all these animals? Well, there's a difference. Oh, so you discriminate then. Well, then you should discriminate according to what Krishna wants you to do. Not what you want to do. Discriminate according to Krishna's program. Yes, granted enough. So another person brought up, well, then when we kill, sometimes we eat prasad, cooked from boga, that the plant that gave the boga, we kill the plant. For example, potatoes, carrots, they are, you know, those fruits are in the earth, and the vegetables are in the earth. So to get them, you have to pull the whole plant out. Well, you pull the plant out, the plant is dead. That soul has to come out. So what about that? Well, that's a good point. But then Srila Prabhupada says, those ones that are sanctioned by Krishna, remember Krishna owns everything. So those are the ones that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has sanctioned that you can use to eat. you offer first to Krishna and then eat, that is approved by Krishna himself. So if the plant dies, that's not a problem. And obviously not all plants die. And when you pick tomatoes, the tomato plant doesn't die. When you pick peppers, pepper plant doesn't die. And there's so many of them that don't. Now, fruit, both these fruit trees and fruit plants, they don't die. So only a few of them go through that. But it's sanctioned by the Lord, though, that we can, in fact, have those. So that's the way it is in the material world. That's the way it is in the material world. The tigers also kill other weaker animals and eat them. But they are sanctioned. They can do that. That's the way they live their lives and they feed themselves. So we are supposed to have vegetables and fruits and milk. So they said, well, I mean, they couldn't fight the Prabhupada because if you say you kill an animal, then kill your family members. So they kept quiet about it. So unless one is disgusted with the enjoyment of this material world, they cannot expire for liberation. So Srila Prabhupada says, so we should live life at the higher level, inquiring about who we are, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Those who have given up the attempt to be happy in this material world can inquire about the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada in another situation has explained, there is darkness and there is light. Life in the material world, as we say, Kami life, that's, you know, that can be compared to darkness. And devotee life can be compared to life in the light. Whenever there's no light, there's darkness. And we are what? At the Tathasta level, we can choose the darkness of our own will, free will, or we can choose the light. But Srila Prabhupada is making the point, as soon as you get out of the light, you're in darkness. You cannot be out of the light and still have light. So we always have to stay in the light. We are in the material world. We are in the cosmic prison. And so we have a choice to continue with prison life, or continue the life, or, you know, take seriously the life that gets us out of the prison, which is what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are teaching us to do. So we give up the attempt to be happy in the material world. Then we can inquire about the absolute truth. The material world is actually designed for a person who first, of course, wanting to enjoy and lord it over material nature, to find out by the mercy, by the causeless mercy of the Lord and the Lord's devotees, pure devotees, to find out that they're not going to be happy here. It's so obvious now with coronavirus that you really can't be happy in this place. We're now being used and being dictated to left and right. So-called freedom that we had in America is being stripped away so quickly. Because if you do this, COVID-19 is going to get you. If you do this, it's going to get you. Don't do this, don't do that. And right now we're all running around with now even want to make rules that you have to, as a law. Taking that liberty is in. You have to wear that mask to protect. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So America is supposed to be the land of the free. What freedom now? We're all running around with masks on our faces most of the time we get out. And we can't even get close. We have to stay 6 feet or more away from a person that we care about when we walk outside. So all of these restrictions have come from nowhere. From nowhere? Well, one little bug caused all of this. And how the little bug came into a human, that's another story. We won't even get into that. But we don't have freedom now. We don't. So it's obvious that this isn't the place that's going to give us happiness. Not the material world. We have to go home. So by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's making it obvious to us. He's been saying so many times, simplify your life, go back home, get, even at this point, get, if you can, an acre. An acre is pretty decent sized land. And a cow. By the way, just describe a very simple way of imagining an acre. Imagine a square of land. But one side, if you walk, the average person, average height, walks about 70 steps, 70 paces. You see, you can stand next to a pole that you can see from far away and start with that pole and walk 70 paces, regular walking, 70, 70, and turn around and look how far you are from the pole. That's one side of an acre. And imagine going that around to make a square. That's a pretty decent amount of land. So get that land, usually you can get it in the country and fairly inexpensively. So that's why our farms are so important. This is Papa says the farms should be the ones that support the city temples. The city temples should be for preaching purposes. Preaching purposes. And then the farms are actually, not only should they supply boga and milk from cows, but they should also be refuge places if it gets too tough in the city. This has been mentioned, 10, 20 years ago almost. So that actually what needs to happen is that the immediate, when we say immediate, like an hour, 2 hours away, all the temples in the cities, the farms should be large enough with accommodation and supply of boga to be able to support temple devotees and other devotees who may want to get out or sometimes even flee the cities if it comes to that, and be able to live decently in a farm community, Hare Krishna farm community. That's the way things should be. Well, we're not near that at all. I mean, only a few places around the world can actually say they can do that. So we've got some way to go. That's why His Holiness, the late Bhakti Chuluswami, made a comment about ISKCON. He says, ISKCON is constipated. We got a lot of ways, we're just stuck in some places. Well, constipation is never forever. So, we need the remedy, the Christian remedy, in order to be able to flow as a society nicely and make things done and get things done that needs to get done. Long discussion about that. Anyway, I know the older Srila Prabhupada disciples are taking this very seriously and training the people in their 40s and 50s who are younger. There are some devotees who are very dedicated in that group that have been picked to and now being trained for 2 years about what it takes to be a GBC. Now, see, we'll make one point here. Srila Prabhupada, before he left the body, was saying there was one more thing he needed to do, and that was establish Varnashram. Now, we are all devotees, so basically, we are the Brahman Varna. But it's Brahman, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, Shudra. And what needs to happen is we need to work as devotees and serve as devotees in different roles, but everybody should respect each other as a Brahman. Because being a Vaishnav is automatically being a Brahman. A Vaishnav has Brahminical qualities. But then, we have to do the needful. The occupations are there, caring for the cows, and growing boga, vegetables, the administration work, which is a kshatriya and protection, and then, of course, the temple service and so on. So there, and then the preaching. So they're all there. So all devotees can take different roles like that. Now, in devotional service, the Lord's agents don't look at any of them as better service than others. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, the one that is cooking the temple, the one that is cleaning, the service is as good as the pujari. He made this comment. So we can, in fact, come together as a society that connects as one big society. And many, many sannyasis now, and big ones that are, big ones, but popular ones, to shoot that way, popular ones, they're all talking about it. The ISKCON needs to be closer together, because at some point, my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, and he said this in a darshan, but I'll still talk about it, because he was quite upset about a number of things going on in ISKCON. It got to the point, he said, ISKCON doesn't feel like a society anymore. It's like a federation of temples, autonomous temples. And they do whatever they like, and sometimes they may come together. That's not the way Srila Prabhupada wants ISKCON to be at all. ISKCON is one body, his body. And so we need to be together and understand that he, Srila Prabhupada, is the head and will always be the head. And literally what he has done, nobody has done in this world. Lord Chaitanya empowered him to do that. He's written 84 books, and he wrote 84 books in 12 years. Not too many people can ever claim that rate of wonderful spiritual explanation, translation and explanation of the Shastra, Vedanta Sutra, which concludes Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all a part of Vedanta Sutra. So we are fortunate to have him. He is the one that's guided everybody, including our gurus. They depend on him. They preach based on his purports. And he traveled the world 12 or 13 times, not sure, around the world, helping all of the temples that set up. In his time when he was a baby, it was predicted he would, before he turned 70, in 70, he would cross the seas and come to the west. He did that in instruction of his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So much that he has done. So much. And the book distribution, over 500 million of Srila Prabhupada's books have been distributed in this world. There are 651 temples, last count, and preaching centers and farms in the world now. He established 108. It's more than six times now. So devotees have worked hard. Sometimes people look at this kind of criticize. I don't know what they're talking about. They do not know what they're talking about. Sorry to put it that way. So much has happened that's positive. And that's why His Holiness the late Bhakti Sri Swami was pointing out ISKCON is getting stronger and stronger. With everything that we learn, supposed to be a mishap, it's actually, we come out stronger because we learn our lessons and we keep growing. So it is a wonderful society set up by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And all we need to do is take it very seriously. So, in all conditions, the pure devotee of the Lord agrees to suffer the results of his past life, even if it's not there. Srila Prabhupada at one point, same thing, one guy was giving him so much of a hassle. So when he left, then his disciples asked him, why is this person arguing so much with you? Things that are definitely good for him to actually live by, like you're telling him. And Srila Prabhupada says, well, maybe in my previous life I may have offended him. See, devotees, pure devotees think that way. Even though they're really offenseless, and their chanting is offenseless, so we learn to be humble through that. So one of the things, four of them that we shouldn't do, we go through them quickly. Don't criticize. Don't get angry at people unnecessarily. Don't gossip, and don't be envious. All of those sabotage our spiritual life, our efforts to go back to Godhead. So Jat Bharat showed us tolerance, and we should live by that. Hare Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text 14, the translation again. Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when King Rahugan chastised the exalted devotee Jat Bharat with harsh words, that peaceful saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. Nescience is due to the bodily conception, and Jat Bharat was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. So thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for tolerating me. Now you can star 6 to unmute your phones and have discussion. So are there any questions? Hare Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for
watching. Okay, Hare Krishna.
If anybody have any questions, comments, you may please speak to
Okay. Prabhu,
Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhu.
Very nice. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhu.
So, I don't the class, but generally, I was wondering nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, oh, we finished the question. Okay. In one sense, the Lord is using the demigods and his assistants to help us to realize that we're not supposed to be trying to be happy in this place. You can try, but it doesn't work. Because material world, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, and from Brahmaloka all the way up to Pataloka, it's already said there are places of suffering. It's just that they're suffering in certain number of degrees. Mm? Higher planets, there's less suffering. Lower planets, all the way up to the lowest hellish planet, there's more suffering. So there's suffering everywhere. Everywhere. And so it's not like you can try to fix everything here. By the causeless mercy, the pure devotees come by their mercy and try to get us out. Srila Prabhupada, for one, has done so much by getting a permission from Krishna to lower the requirements to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, of all places, the best planet in the spiritual world. A devotee is supposed to chant 64 rounds. Now we're chanting one quarter of it, 16 rounds, 25%. How do you pass any exam with 25%? Srila Prabhupada has allowed it. Women are supposed to, in so many things that he's done, you can just go on and on and on and on and on. So he really has given us a unique opportunity to go back. So when things bother us, the weather goes bad and all of that, that is a reminder that this place isn't for us to stay here. We got to get out. Because you cannot fight the weather. You know what I mean? The scientists, with whatever they think they produce now, they can't fight the weather. And that's just one example. And if, you know, so it's a question of getting out. It's a question of getting out. And so that's why we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, as the Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, to get out. So that we will be, you know, peaceful and have no anxiety back in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.